Vul'Kathos, I have never prayed to you before. I ask you, grant me one request. Improve my MMR. This is core. You, Death by Snoo Snoo.
Oh, yeah. She's like Amazon deal. I get it. She's not really an Amazon, though. She's a freaking, isn't it? Well, you know what that's from. It's from Futurama.
I saw the clip. Yeah. So I got the reference.
And it's a great episode. It's about these Amazonian women on this Amazon planet. And the Snoo Snoo bit is really funny. And they all worship a computer called Femputer. And it's a lady computer that's got the voice of the now deceased Bea Arthur and one of the Golden Girls there. And she's great in that. And her and Bender kind of have a fling. And it's a great episode. But what I don't understand is the barbarian woman of Diablo is saying Snoo Snoo. They're not barbarians. They're Amazonians, Amazons. And so it should be what's her name from
Cassia?
Diablo. Cassia should say that.
Yeah, but I feel like if, you know, post-coital activities with Cassia would be, you know, just having a snack out in the patio watching the night horizon.
Well, you say she's a little more refined?
Like, it'd just be like, you know, it'd be more mature. And I feel like I'd be a corpse after Sonya was done with me. So we're all right.
Yeah, this basically is all great. We've started right. Yeah. This is the way you start a show. We've learned how to do it. Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. It is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast that we make. I'm Scott with Bo John, and that's it. There's no fourth person. And we're here to do a show. Now, I'd like to start things off. After having spent some time in the test server / PTR, whatever it is. Is it just PTR they call it? I guess PTR. Whatever it is. Yeah. And I've been in there because I want to mess about with Phoenix. We'll get to this in a minute, but I believe Phoenix is my most anticipated character right now, period, straight up. Like, I think he might be my favorite assassin. Now, I've only played with him in test mode. And so there's a lot to be said about let's get him in a real game with real comps and real stuff. I understand that. But my first impression of Phoenix is, whew, off the charts. All right. So I want to go mess around with Phoenix. I get in. He's a Dragoon now, you know. He's in a little Dragoon body, Spider-Man body thing. And I go in there. I choose him. And your option is as it always is. You enter a sort of fake field of battle, single lane little affair there with some minions, a couple of towers. For some reason, you have the Tree Prophet and Arthas. Poor, sad Prince Arthas, now the Lich King, comes at you from the other side with no help other than minions and a crappy tower. And that's it. That's all you get is Arthas. Now, you're saying to yourself, Scott, this is always true no matter who you're testing in the game. And that's true. Which is why I want to get to this problem. It's not fair for Arthas the way it's stacked. I can jump to any level I want. I can set it so that my cooldowns don't exist. They basically just keep letting me do Planet Cracker over and over and over, which I did, and that's a blast, by the way.
Of course.
Literally. So it's not fair to him. It's never been fair to him. Even if you go in there at level 1 and just work your way through the levels like you would normally, he is just constantly dying and has nobody to heal him. Meanwhile, I got, you know, Tree Prophet over there throwing heals on me the entire time. So, I have a theory that the reason none of us want to play Arthas anymore is because he has been relegated to this punching bag piece of turd meat at the end of the lane who's good for nothing but testing out new characters on. Thoughts. John, do you think I'm correct? Do you think that and okay, if I'm right, if this is what's diminishing him in our eyes, one of the great villains in all of video game lore, reduced to, you know, poopy man at the bottom of this thing, how do we A, get it back, and B, if it's about moving him out, who do we put in there? Who's the new punching bag?
So I want to add a little piece of fact in here. You can't change the hero out.
Your point still,
that was in an update, you know, a while back. But the point still stands that he's the default hero, no matter what you pick. I don't think it saves it between tri-mode instances. So we're all right. That's today's theme. Everyone's right.
Okay, so I didn't know this. Perhaps this was their way of dealing with it. But the fact that it's not advertised anywhere and I wasn't aware of it, and it's just him by default, I still think puts him in a poopy place. So let me rephrase the question. John, who would you put in his place as the default punching bag character?
I always make it ETC.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I just always switch it to ETC.
Should it be a tank? Is that what you're telling me? It should always be a tank?
No, I just looked at the list and I was like...
You like him, though. You like ETC.
What if it was ETC?
But you like him.
I do.
Yeah?
Sorta.
Yeah?
I sorta like him. Okay. It's a begrudging like.
Okay.
But, it's 100% ETC. Sometimes if I really want to see how a DPS will hold up, I'll maybe throw in a Vala or a Tracer or somebody in there. But generally speaking, I'll put in... I think I like a tank because I like an idea, you know, especially when you're playing a DPS character. I like a sense of what it's doing to a tank in the front line.
Right.
So, yeah, ETC is my target of choice every time.
Well, all right. Knowing that, it makes me feel a little bit better that I can go change it. I had no idea you could do that. I would have done that a long time ago, not only just to have a change of pace and get Arthas out of there, but also it would be nice to see... I don't know how I would do against a range character over there. Like, put Tracer over there. How does she stack up against some new character or whatever?
Oh, one other thing we should also point out. You can change who your ally is.
Gosh, dang it, dude! Malfurion. It's not always Malfurion. It can be anybody?
Yeah, you can also turn it off.
Oh, so it can be just... Where do they say this? Where is all this?
It's just in the buttons. There's no tutorial, unfortunately. All right. I'm asking for one.
So if I go to the option someplace, I'm just going to run into this, is what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's all in there.
Great. Great. Oh, sexy sexy Picard is the punching bag. I like Darkstein's thinking. There's what you do. Get sexy Picard, blue, random Picard-looking avatar, and let's get him in there to fight. If not him, then who? If not now, then when?
The one thing they did add in the training thing that was cool, speaking of training dummies, there's now 4 training dummies in there. I thought that was great.
Oh, wait. I like that. There are? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it used to be there was 1 training dummy, and now there's 4, so you can practice your AoE shots and do your math. Like, I don't know about you, but I know I spent a long time with the whole Jaina combo, just like running away from the dummy, then running back, and then Ring of Frosting, and trying to figure out the optimal order for abilities when you're doing the whole Ring of Frost thing.
I forgot the dummies were there, to be honest. They're just down below, right?
Well, there's 4 now, and you can take your plasma cutter and hit all 3 of them.
Oh my gosh, that plasma cutter. All right, F my Arthas thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about Phoenix.
Okay.
Phoenix is just everything I had hoped. So when we saw the videos and stuff, the kit looks great and everything, but you know, you don't know until you play it or how it feels. How it feels is more important to me than what they tell me I'm going to feel. And it turns out it feels really good. But the thing I like the most about it is I really like a shield and then your life's kind of squishy. I really like that combo because, the game's already got sort of shield mechanics in the game, but I mean as a permanent status effect on him, like a Protoss. Protoss, they all had shield and then life, right? That was their thing. I kind of wish, I know this is wishing upon, this they're never going to do this, but I kind of wish everybody did this. I love it. I love it. I love it. No mana. F the mana. Your resources, how smart you are and how well you play. And you try to keep yourself alive with your shield. And if you take too much damage, get the H out of there. He's awesome. I love him. I love him. I beat the crap out of dummy Arthas. Just the living shit out of him. And, you know, he's just a poopy AI. And so that's no indication of how things are going to go in the wild. But everything about him feels great. I love it. I love his kit. I love toggling that W weapon. I like how it encourages stutter stepping because I want to get better at that anyway. I like the AoE effect of the orb. But I also like that you sacrifice speed for that. I like the idea that this is like, all right, that's your AOE weapon, but switch W to the little laser thing, and now you've got your single target weapon. And everything about it, there's nothing I don't like. So I may sound a little giddy. It's because I am. I can't wait for this character to be in my roster, and I want him now. Thoughts, feelings.
I second your emotion.
Yeah, you second the emotion, and then
I don't think that's the right usage.
No, it's not. It's fine though.
I think everything about him is just awesome. It's hard to quite put your finger on it because a lot of heroes come out and they have a lot of awesome things and they don't resonate in quite the same way. And it might be just down to personal taste. Mm-hmm. But I think everything here, there's a lot of original stuff. If not completely original, then original for heroes. Like, I've never seen an ability like Plasma Cutter. Mm-hmm. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, I love that thing.
And if it isn't original, it's like an upgrade in Protoss style. Like, I think of, Dragon Strike or Nova's Precision Strike and just how much they suck when I look at Plasma Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Or Planet Cracker.
Planet Cracker, yeah.
Oh. Planet Cracker. Gosh. Even Space Speed.
Planet of nothing but white people.
Artanis.
Cracker Planet. Yeah.
Let's not explore the rest of the universe, though. Stay on Planet Cracker. I lost my train of thought completely.
Sorry.
Just that Planet Cracker looks way awesome, more awesome than it. Even Space Bee. Artanis' Space Bee literally looks like a wimpy pea compared to this.
Every other ult looks dumb now to me, except for this one. I mean, it's so cool. It's such a great effect, and it's, in the end, it's probably not going to be the one people pick. I was thinking about this today. You got to make sure your enemies stay within that line because you can't move while you're casting it. And while it's happening, while you're channeling it, there's no aiming it. There's no changing the trajectory of it. It's wherever you lay it. And that's going to be real trouble for lots of great reasons for fights and other stuff. But I kept having this feeling that this thing that is so cool is probably going to prove on a meta level to not be the pick that people take.
Yeah. But we have a Leoric player on our team.
Yeah, that's true, John. We'll put him in the cage and then eat my laser beam. Oh, it's so good, you guys. It's like Scott Summers takes his glasses off in class. Just and just tears everything apart in front of him, except I can't move it around. I have to hold totally still when I do it. But he is so good. He feels so good. Once again, the Protoss characters in this game are freaking above reproach. They're just so great.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about him? Mm. Like, my absolute number one, because it isn't ability-based. Mm. It's his walk animation.
Oh, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Like, it's a non-humanoid. Yeah. Like, so we get so many damn humans. We got a non-humanoid character, and the walk animation is just, it just makes you feel like a creepy crawler. Like, they did an amazing job of the walk animation.
Even like a character like Probius has, it's like a pet, or it moves kind of like a, I don't know. There's a familiarity with the way Probius moves. The way this thing moves is, you're right, it's unnatural. It's inhuman. It's spidery, but also mecha-like. And what it is, it's original StarCraft Brood War for me. It's just those dragoons, the way they move, and you'd send a wad of those guys in. And they just, there's something about them. And they were never great picks. Like, you never really wanted to have too many dragoons back in the day, if I remember right. But they're just so cool. And his story's cool. Like, everything about him is cool. John, where are you at with Phoenix? Spelled F-E-N-I-X, like the dude from Gears of War. Like that Phoenix.
That's needed to be a skin they put just like a little bandana on the top of his dome.
I love that idea.
And he just so with Dom. Oh, Dom.
Come on.
I'm having a real hard day.
Come on.
I really like him. He's really, really good. Yeah. This is the first one where, as we watch the video, our Slack just filled up of us freaking out because I think we immediately saw the potential here. And it was just, it's just amazing. And then I played him and I thought, okay, well, this is where I get disappointed. And I got even more excited. Mm-hmm. Like, he was even more fun playing him than he seemed on paper. And he seemed really good on paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, I play Protoss play Protoss in StarCraft 2. I'm not very good, but that's the faction that I like, and so having another awesome Protoss hero, I'm so excited about.
If you play Lucio, I would actually just point this out. I think he plays a lot like Lucio in a weird way. Like, if you're used to playing Lucio, you're going to pick him right up because his W is the same as Crossfade. It's just sort of a switch between two things kind of mechanic. Mm-hmm. And that just feels natural to me. It's just like bip, 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 no big deal. Knowing when to use that is the kind of mini game, though, involved. And that's, I really like that. Like, well, when should I be using this? Like, there's AoE to be had. Let's go to the big ball version, whatever it's called. I like the little indicator above his head because it tells me which one I'm on, and I don't want to have to guess. So that's nice. His escape is really great. Being able to just teleport the H out of there and at a pretty good distance, too. Feel like you're going to have not too much trouble causing a lot of pain for people and then getting out. He's so good. Why isn't he out today? Today should be the day, not next week.
If I had to pick one nit.
Oh, give us a nit to pick. I like that.
I've got one. I've got only one. And it's a compliment and a gripe at the same time, because I agree with you guys 100% on his walk animation. It's super cool. But as a result, I really don't like his mount animation.
I'm good with that. Yeah, I didn't think that's what you were going to say.
He looks like a spider that died and is now being telekinetically lifted out of the house.
It's a little like... It's like an elephant in the circus riding around a ball.
Like a, what is it? A Roosevelt? No.
What's a Roosevelt?
The
thing that vacuums your floor, a Roomba.
Oh, yeah, the old Roosevelt.
I want to call him Roosevelt now.
He's like a laser Roomba.
Yeah, no, he kind of is. I mean, it's like he's riding around on a ball. It's like a circus act. I don't know what else they would have done there, though. Like, what would you have had for a sped up animation thing for him?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I feel like they did the best they could. I just, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this looks weird. And then I got down on the ground and I was like, oh, yeah, look at me crawling around. And then I mounted again. I was like,
yeah, they should put him on a horse. Walk. Just put him on a poverty horse.
I thought, yeah, with just clutching his head, he's just on the front end where the head is. I thought that your nitpick was going to be the one that I can't tell if I don't like it or not, but it bugs me a little bit, is that his hind legs looks like more armor plating than his front legs, and they always face the same direction. So your little headpiece will rotate around where you point it, and your guy will kind of angle, but he'll always be... His legs don't rotate around interchangeably. And I'm like, that's fine. They probably just didn't have time to put that much detail into.
Yeah, he just sort of shifts around. Well, if anything, see, again, that's very StarCraft 1 like. Like, they didn't do that either in that game. And they didn't because they were 2D sprites and you didn't animate it for that. So that they could have probably made look cooler in a vacuum today in a game like this. But I kind of like that this feels like a Dragoon from then.
Yeah, like, it doesn't bug me, but I notice it if that's the right way to say it. Sure. Like, it just stands out to me, and I'm like, those legs, man. I want to see the back of those back legs.
The polite way.
Show me them legs.
I love that you have to be polite for Phoenix. Phoenix is like, I'm upset by the characterization of my weird.
Well, thing. It's more, I'm thinking more maybe if anyone.
Oh, someone's into it? Sure.
Well, if someone is into it, or if someone... You know, someone who worked hard on these heroes listens to the show.
Oh, I like, see.
Those bastards. Yeah. They're trashing Probius again. God damn, I hate these guys.
Yeah, we do give Probius some heat. But
no, Phoenix is great. And I'm even okay with his mount. I just like, to me, the mount stands out simply because I like his walking animation so much.
Yeah.
It makes me just wish that, I don't know, maybe he just got up real tall and had a longer stride. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I just, his walk is,
I think it's forgivable when you consider the whole package. He's pretty cool.
So how do you, where are you guys at with his, like, his place in the game? Like, where do you think he's going to be strong?
He looks like he's meant to be an auto attacker, like your Valas and your Rainer, like that. He's in that silo of assassin. Which is weird because he doesn't look anything like what you think of that. And he has some mage-like abilities, but I think mostly he's he's gonna be like your replacement for Avala, Reyner, Zul'jin. Like he's gonna fit in that spot in your group.
Think he can? He can be a carry, because that's a pretty great idea.
A dragoon
being your carry in a game is a pretty rad idea. I can't quite figure out how his laser cutter thing. What's it called? His Q?
Plasma cutter.
Plasma cutter. I can't quite figure out why it's bigger sometimes and smaller others. Is it a trait thing I'm not noticing?
Depends on where you have your circle position.
Yeah, how big my circle is, yeah.
Yeah, you can aim that. That's an aim. It's a consideration. So if you're really close to someone, you can make it spin around you quickly in a smaller circumference.
I wasn't even trying that because I just assumed it was always the same distance.
No. You can actually, if you finesse your mouse close to your dude, then you can make it as big as or as small as you need.
Interesting. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
It's really interesting.
Oh, it's in the video. You know what? It is in the video. Now I remember it. Yeah. Now as you say that, I remember it's in the video. But as I'm playing him, I just thought, oh, I'm popping this. And it to me, it was like... When Kael'thas is empowered or whatever, his circle is bigger, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was going on, something like that, some trait-related thing. But I was having so much fun, I never bothered to look any deeper than that because he's so rad.
Another fun trick to that is it actually marks where your cursor is specifically when you hit it, and you will see a small, tiny circle on the radius as it's going around.
Yeah.
That marks where the laser begins and ends, which means if you utilize it correctly, you can get 3 hits off a single target as opposed to 2.
Mm.
So in other words, you know it's going to go around, and then stop again where that is. So if they're on the lower side of that circle, it will only hit them twice. If they're on the upper, you can hit them 3 times.
Gotcha.
And if you upgrade the level 1 talent and complete stacks, it'll be 4 times.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Chat room points out, and they make a good point, that Bo, when he said, would you say Eisenhower? What'd you think the vacuum was called?
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. They think he probably meant a Hoover, which was also a president, President Hoover.
No, so. I meant Roomba. Hoover. That's, yeah.
President Roomba. He was a fantastic
two-term president. Which president was Tyson Ball?
What?
No, Tyson Ball.
Yeah, there was no Tyson Ball. That's a chicken. That's Tyson chicken. Oh my gosh, this is the best.
I'm from Canada, you guys. I don't know your weird products.
You don't know our ways. Yeah. No, that was great. I'm glad that we got there. So anyway, Phoenix. Gosh dang it, dude. I want him so bad. I haven't felt this way in a while about a character. Probably, and it's always StarCraft characters. It's not even my favorite game, and I get so into them, but I felt very strongly about Blaze. Still do. I like Blaze a lot. Stukov, I had low expectations for, and it ended up being my favorite character, but I think this one just looks like it may just put me in the brink, man. I'm so excited. I don't know what the brink is. Did I just make that up?
You're going to be in it, though.
What is the brink? That's an old video game that nobody played.
Into the drink.
Into the drink. Maybe I mean to the brink, or maybe I mean put me in the clink. No.
Unto the breach.
Sure. That's a good game, too, by the way. You guys play that?
I mean, saying it took you to the brink, took you to the edge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It took me to the brink of sanity.
That's basically what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying. Yeah.
It could be the edge of many things.
Yeah.
But what is a brink? Imagination.
I don't know what a brink is.
Like, it's like the pinnacle. It's like the edge.
Oh.
Yeah. Brink, noun, the edge or margin of a steep place or of land bordering water.
Yeah, I can't go any further than the brink unless I want to be in the water or off the edge or whatever. The brink
is
the brink.
Part where Anthony Hopkins fights the bear.
Right. It's where you guys play hockey in Canada. It's the ice brink.
The ice brink.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, Phoenix, hurry up, damn it. Next week, do we think? We're pretty sure. We don't know. Have they said?
Yeah, pretty sure next week.
Pretty sure next week.
All right. Let's get that going. Because then they go straight to PAX East, right? And then they get up there and they announce whatever that next thing is, plus the lore business.
Lore.
Yeah. I still like John. Is it John's theory? Whoever said that, or maybe it was you, Bo. But anyway, the idea that maybe Deckard Cain has a bunch to do with this lore would be really...
Oh, that he's not a hero, but that he's our...
I'm fine with him being a hero. Just I like the idea of them introducing lore because of him. Like he opens some kind of portal. It's his fault we're all there or something weird like that.
You know, I was talking the Hearthstone. They did the outside of the Hearthstone trailer with the singing and dancing and the little girl in the forest. I don't know what her name is, but
yeah,
like an ambassador for the game.
Yeah,
that would be him
for heroes. Like, yeah. Just, you know.
I can see that.
You go to him and he's just like, the Raven King. Wait, is it Raven? It's Raven Lord. The Raven Lord is kind of a dick. And you get all the details why.
Who's the other guy that fights the Raven Lord all the time? What's his name?
The Gravekeeper.
Gravekeeper. He's the one that goes, I have a portal too. You can use my portal too, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I love that's it. the best line from like the announcers is mm-hmm. One guy's like, I've made a portal for you. And the other guy's like, I made one too.
It is good. Those two, I love that rivalry. They're my favorite opposing characters in the game, and they don't even get to be played. They're great. Anyway, there you go. Phoenix, next week. I'm going to sneeze.
He did it.
Oh my gosh, I sneezed. I pushed the sneeze.
Violent too.
Woo!
Darn near killed the man.
It just about did. All right, let's talk about the balance patch that landed today. I noticed there was an update today. Gray main, cooldown on swipe, that's his Q, increased from 3 to 4 seconds. And this is to reduce his merc effectiveness early in the game. I didn't know that was a problem, but I guess it was.
They basically said he was too good at too many things.
Mm. I like, you know what? I like nerfs that are time nerfs. It depends on how much time, I guess. But I like time nerfs more than damage or, you know, points nerfs. I don't know why. I feel like an extra second's better than them taking away his damage, if that makes sense. Maiev. Oh, guess what I bought before I go any further? I bought Portal Man today.
Medivh.
I never bought him. I don't know why I was thinking of Medivh when I said Maiev. Well, their names are familiar or similar. But I bought Medivh because he was up on the thing and I had some gems laying around that I don't have anything to spend on except new characters. So I thought, you know what? Let's finish out my collection, or let's get my collection to the point that there's still just one character I've never purchased. And so I bought Medivh. He's mine.
Vikings?
Yep. That's it.
Okay.
Vikings still sit there languishing in the store with zero purchase from me. They will find no purchase from me. I'm not going to do it.
You're going to get them from a loot box and it's going to be hilarious.
Well, if that, I mean, I'll take them for free, but I ain't going to pay for those buttholes. There's no way. Anyway, just made me think of that. Maiev, her jump cooldown is increased. Oh no. Fan of Knives damage reduced. Containment disc cooldown 65 seconds to 50 seconds. Warden's Cage cooldown up to 80, or from 80 to 100. I think she got nerfed, seems like. Maybe a bit of a nerf happened.
Yep. They said, she's powerful, we nerf. Oh, it's the short version. It's the short version of the developer comments.
They stopped using all their what's the word? Thes and us. They stopped using those.
Conjunctions.
I don't know if she's like, I mean, they say she's powerful and I believe them, but I'm still on the boat of, I don't know. I play her. Sometimes amazing things happen and sometimes awful things happen. So I don't know. Too. Just do what you're going to do, I guess.
Yeah. Well, who is it? You actually, Bo says that a lot too. You just don't know what, like, you play her and you think she's great, but what are you doing with her? Like, what's actually happening? It's hard to tell. Like, how
I think having the benefit of now a couple of weeks with her out, I haven't been super interested in playing her a lot. When I do play her, like, it's like John, we've been saying, it's like sometimes you feel like you have a big upside, but I feel very one-dimensional when I play her. Like, I don't know, I don't just play heroes because they're amazing. Like, you want to play OP heroes, but I don't know, there's just something. And I play a lot of melee assassins, but she's, I don't know, she's cool. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. I can't say I dislike it. It's just
she's not ringing your bell right now. I get it.
Yeah, she's not opening my shower curtain.
I don't know. Oh, I love it. No, that's good. That's great for her. That's perfect. My F's not quite opening my shower curtain means she's not great yet. I love it. That's perfect.
Anyways,
Ariel. Ariel, a character I've always been disappointed with because I don't know, she's just not fun for me. But her resurrect cooldown range increased from 5 to 7, and her cooldown reduced from 80 from 100 seconds. So getting a little love on that end and a little hate on the front end.
She also got a couple of things to make her ability to self generate hope a little easier.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was talent changes, but they're
Sometimes this stuff's not immediately obvious when you look at the notes.
There's been some tweaks. I don't know because I don't have it right in front of me, but I remember reading it. And
I'm all for her. I'm all for her doing that. By the way, Hope Generation, she needs that worse than she. I'm gone are the days where I want to put a crown on somebody and hope for the best. Freaking F that. It sucks.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It's a bit.
Energized Cord, energy stored from basic attacks against non-heroic, reduced from 50 to 40. That sounds nerfy.
Yeah, that is. But there's some talent thing in there, right? That got tweaked, is what John's saying. Maybe. I don't know.
No, they increased your attack damage. Detainment Strike has a lower cooldown. There are adjustments in there. It looks like on the whole to make her stronger. So
yeah.
Well, good. I just mean get rid of her dumb healing mechanic. How about that? That'd be great. Blaze is in the game. Bunker now has a 1 second cooldown before you can exit. After entering. So if you get in, there's like a little second, and then you can get out. So you can't just get in, get out sort of thing. You're going to lose time if you do that because you have that second cooldown. So I get that. That seems like a reasonable thing to add to the game. Thrall, Crash Lightning level 1 damage cap got nerfed, plus number of stacks required from 20 to 30. So Thrall, according to Kyle, who's been a real problem out there, kind of auto bans.
I thought you meant just in general. I was like, man, Scott finally throwing down on Kyle real hard.
You know, you wait for him to leave town and then you just unload. That's how you do it. But he has long maintained that Thrall's been in the, you know, he needed a nerf and now he's got it. So there's that. We'll see if that makes a difference. Very minor balancing nerfs to Vala with multi-shot, Medivh, Sonya, Tyrael. They all got some stuff and some minor buffs to Zul'jin and Artanis. John's favorite Protoss in the game.
Yeah, it's nothing mind-boggling, but it's all right. It's mostly he's not going to go through mana like crazy anymore.
Yeah. And Zul'jin, what's his deal? He just has axe and wants to know if you want his axe. His
basic attack damage got increased, which is always welcome since that's his main way of dealing damage.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. Ensnare and the ensnare cooldown is reduced from 60 to 45. Like when we say very minor, we mean if you play this hero and we're really concerned, go look it up. But like some of the stuff is really not worth talking about. Like they're so incremental and small. Yeah. Like the level of granularity on these regular balance patch notes it's impressive.
Yeah.
But also don't want to make a mountain out. I saw a tweet earlier today from someone being like, "You won't believe today's patch." And I looked at the notes and I went,
oh, I believe it.
Like, I look at these every week. It's like
it's pretty believable.
Like four damage increased on Zul'jin. Like, oh no, I have to change my pants. This is incredible. I just shit my, you know, like it's
yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I just noticed a quick shout out. Lady Jocelyn in the chat room says she's at the Salt Lake International Airport on a 3-hour layover, waving in your direction. What are you doing here for 3 hours? That's weird. Where are you headed? I mean, that's not Jocelyn. That's another Jocelyn, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, have fun. It's an okay airport. We're building a new one though, so when that one's done, you'll like that one way better for 3 hours. I can promise you that. Zul'jin. What was I going to say about him? Oh, there's some really cool fan art floating around. I'm pretty sure the official Heroes of the Storm Twitter account retweeted it. Great fan art of Zul'jin with Murky on his shoulder, and. It probably sounds fine to whoever's hearing me say this, but you got to go see it. It's great. It is the most adorable thing you've ever seen. It's really, really good. I don't know who that was. I'd love to give him credit. Let's talk about the PTR balance changes. There's some items of note. This is different from today's patch, obviously. Varian's heroic talents move to level 4. This is important.
Yeah.
Explain to me, John, what happened. Why is Varian getting a... He's getting a shuffle, man. It's weird.
He's getting some pretty significant changes. I mean, the big thing is, and everybody says it when they talk about Varian in general, they say, you know, he doesn't really come online until 10, and then you pick the kind of Varian you want to be. And so this was kind of a change to address that. So now at level 4, you get to pick Taunt, Colossal Smash, Twin Blades of Fury. So basically, he gets his ultimate ability at level 4 now. The balance, and we'll see how it goes, to that is that he saw some pretty significant, nerfs, to his damage, to his, healing, but his scaling went up. So, in other words, the idea being that he will be weaker earlier, but he will scale to where he needed he needs to be later in the game to help kind of combat this.
Okay. So at 10, what does he do at 10? Just nothing?
At level 10 is where they've put his shield wall and his Warbringer. So that's the reduce parry's cooldown and allows Varian to charge allied heroes.
So the joke is now that shield wall is the heroic.
Which it basically is. So
That's what I mean. It, like they were, none of the actual heroics are as good as shield walled. Sorry.
So it's like Tracer. It's like Tracer at 1 or Tracer at 4 basically. Like Tracer starts with her ult. He's kind of starting with his ult at 4.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
That seems like a bummer for if you're a Varian fan. I don't know why. I like to like that level know. 10 well, is I had a big this cover, deal.
Our good friend Ryan Reeder from the Lords of the Storm, TBK Zord. I was talking to him last night.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know. It made I don't mean to make him sound bad, but he was kind of complaining. He was kind of complaining a little bit that he nerfed his damage. You know, we did the they crunched the numbers. There's a guy, Math of the Storm. He just does numbers.
Yeah,
and he did the numbers on Varian, and it looked like it's all down. And I was like, dude, this is the only thing you got to think about, is that most games you get 40% of the time to play Twin Blades. Now you're going to get to play it like 80 to 90% of the time. Who cares if you win or lose?
Yeah,
you get the Twin Blades for a greater percentage of the game. So it's a win no matter how terrible Varian ends up being.
I mean, considering the amount of times he picks Twin Blades, I would say that he doesn't care if he wins or loses.
Yeah, that's what John would say. I mean, I think this is fine. It just seems like a bummer. It's a milestone at 10, you know? You hit 10. I think it's a bummer for Tracer, honestly. I get why they did it, and it makes sense for who she is, but it just kind of sucks. You get to 10, and everybody else gets to pick or gets a giant package under the tree, and you get socks and a tie.
Like, well, Varian still does. His shield wall is not socks.
Well, that's true.
It's a Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
He was being spoiled getting that at 4, honestly.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's a different way of looking at him, I guess. If I'd have never played him before, this probably all makes perfect sense.
I will say, though, Tracer's feels a little underwhelming.
Mm. Yeah, I do. I agree with that.
I don't think all three of those options are interesting. And the one I almost always pick, I don't think is particularly interesting.
Yeah. Either.
You take the extra 10% damage most of the time?
I take the one that makes it come up faster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, and for the record, I feel this way when I play Muradin. Not because he gets to pick something earlier or doesn't have an ultimate or something that starts at 0. It's because his 2 ultimates still blow. So there's that. Man, I'm really hard on the game today. Listen, I'm just saying, Muradin's 2 Haymaker's things are awesome. Boring.
Let me be positive.
No, it's not. It's just punch a dude. It's punch a dude. Now, you might say, well, Scott, what's the difference between that and Stukov pushing a dude? It's so much cooler with Stukov. I get that big giant space wiener just shoving him all the way back to the thing.
You don't like that Warner Brothers boxing glove that he puts on his hand before he punches? He's like, bing.
It's all right.
I think Haymaker is just fine. But here's the problem with Haymaker is Haymaker looks really sweet when you have to take Avatar so often. Yeah. And it's always like, oh, I gotta take Avatar. And it makes you always want to take Haymaker, which makes the times that you get to take Haymaker all the more sweet. Because you're like, yes, this is the time I get to do it.
Yeah. So once a year.
Yep.
When he eventually,
it's a good year. It's a good time that year.
When he eventually gets a substantial rework, because all the characters are subject to that at some point, I think he gets at least one new thing the way that Sylvanas did, a new ultimate. I really do think that.
Okay.
It's just, his new ultimate. I'm gonna come up with it right now on the fly. He touches Frostmourne and dies. Or when you kill him, he dies. But he gets to come back right away, but it's a coin flip on which team he comes back
for. That's like a Hearthstone card. I don't know if I like that.
Until the amnesia wears off.
Okay, fair enough. How long does that take? What's the time on that?
A couple WoW expansions.
So like 6 years. I don't know if we can do it. That's a long time for one match. Anyway, what else? That's it for that. There's more. So that's what's going on with Varian. Tracer players, Tracer tweaks to cooldowns increased and pulse bomb damage significantly lower than it was before. Basic attack increased 27 to 29. HP increased, effectively reducing her burst damage and increasing her sustain damage. I play her very sustainy, so this is in my favor. I'm way less about zip, zip, drop the bomb, zip, zip, and get out. I'm not really into that so much.
Yeah, because you forgot the melee. You got to put the melee in there.
Yeah, and get the melee to shunk and then get out. I like to get in
there.
I hate
that. I get so mad when I zip, zip in, mm-hmm. throw the bomb, and then I rewind back and I forget the melee, and I'm like, ah!
Yeah, the combo doesn't work as well, does it? For sure. But I like a more sustainy build anyway, so I'm fine with this. Totally not a problem. All you bomb lovers out there, I guess you're kind of screwed. All right. Well, that's what's going on in the servers. Some fun stuff coming our way. In development update, car bot portraits coming to the game. Oh man, it must be great to be that guy. He must be excited. Wouldn't you be? I would be.
I'd be stoked. He deserves it though. That dude puts in awesome work.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I've done some animation. It's hard as hell. It takes a ton of time. Even his style of it, which you could argue is simple, it's perfect for what he does. And it's all so well done. Like, he deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. I think it's
awesome.
He's
also been a real champion for the game. Like, it would be very easy to turn around and be like, oh, he was into StarCraft and now he's just doing this thing for Heroes of the Storm and whatever. But he streams it. He likes to play it. I know for a long while he was designing new heroes, and I loved those videos a lot too, because you could tell he was just stoked on whatever idea he had. Mm-hmm. So I think it's super cool to see him get some love. Although, here's my nit to pick on this one.
Okay.
One of my favorite characters from his series is Uther, because Uther is one of the best characters in those shorts.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's not one of the portrait options.
Oh. Because he's the best in there. He's so good in those cartoons. He's the best. He's the most mindless, dumb. Like, he's added a piece of, he's added a personality to Uther that straight up does not exist in real Uther, but it's almost better than real Uther. Like, just this kind of like doobie doo in the way he heals stuff. I love everything he does. Are any of these sprays that they're doing? Because we know we're getting portraits.
Animated? They're all sprays.
Are they animated?
You see the Stukov one? They don't look animated, but they could be.
They should. Oh, that's dumb that they're not animated. They should do that. That's bad.
Maybe they're saving some of these better ones for like a second pack or something like that. Because I would love to have one where Uther's got the little healing globe and a little bendy straw in it. And just... and the little orb shrinks down as he heals himself.
I love that. That's really good. Well done, Carbot Man. What's his name? I always forget his name.
I was calling him Carbot.
He did a really great panel after ours at BlizzCon, and I was jealous.
He was on my plane on the way to BlizzCon.
Oh no way!
I forget his name. I'm just like, I know that guy. I didn't figure out who it was till after.
I'm super impressed. Is he Canadian? Canadian guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Look at you, Canadians.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you got a lot of...
I know Carbot is a team chat, but he calls himself Mr. Carbot sometimes in the videos. He will say, hey, it's your friend, Mr. Carbot.
So yeah. That's what also, I call also him. Keep in mind, for the very large portion of the videos he's done over time was just him. He now has people because he can do people. But before that...
Jonathan Burton,
that's it. John Burton. I should remember that. His name was all over the stuff in the backstage.
That's too hard of a name for me to remember.
Jonathan Burton is a rough one.
He got shafted because he didn't get credit on the Batman movie along with his brother Tim, but hey.
Oh, look at you with the Tim Burton reference. That's pretty good. All right, hey, what now? Oh, I know. Zergling mount. I'm into that. That's a great idea. Bring it on. Zergling mount. In fact, just give that to Phoenix. Just let him ride around on a Zergling. That'd be cool.
It's just two legs on it and being dragged behind it everywhere he goes.
Ride on Probius.
Yeah, he could. He could and should ride on Probius.
Kind of looks like he's riding on Probius. If you just can't see Probius,
it's like whatever's inside of Probius. If you take off the outer shell, that's what it is. Just a blue orby movement ball.
Mm-hmm. I also think you should be able to. Someone like Diablo should be able to pull back. Phoenix's, you know, he has a flap up top It kind of looks like you can pull it back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you can put Probius in it and fire. All right, Carbot, I wrote your next video.
Yeah, done. Yeah. Well done. Burton, Mira, me. Han, Phoenix, and adjunct. I can't say that. Adjutant. Adjutant. John's very excited about these. They're coming as voice packs.
he's adjutantated.
Yeah, I'm very adjutantated. Why are you so excited about these voice packs? I mean, they all sound good to me too, but tell me.
For some reason, the voice of the adjutant has just always been like a happy place for me in StarCraft. Every time the adjutant comes on and tells me what's going on, I feel good. I just feel like life's okay.
Give us a line. He comes out and goes, Executor.
No, that's Protoss. Oh. This is the Terran voice, the like.
Oh, yeah, Reber Carr.
More best being guests,
oh, that know? Lady. That's the adjutant. Yeah. That's what we're calling her. That's her name. I didn't know that. All right.
She was that sweet, won the BlizzCon costume contest that one year.
Yeah, that was good. I remember that.
It was pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, I just really like the voice of the adjutant, and it's a new announcer, and I think. You go back like 30 episodes or something like that. I said that's what I would really like, and now it's going to be
so
real.
So who will VO? Hold on a minute. This is confusing because she already does Warhead Junction. That's her.
Draxus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does she do? No, Draxus is that nervous guy.
Oh, yeah, it's the cook guy.
Yeah.
She does. Yeah. She does Warhead.
She does Warhead. Yeah.
Yeah. Nuclear launch detected. So you guys are. Whereas, I guess my what I was going to say is if you get her for a voice announcer, it'll be interesting to see what they do on that map. I guess it'd be the same. She'd probably just do the normal thing she would do on there. I don't know.
Well, I think they fill different spots because even if you pick a new announcer, I think you still do get like voice templating. Like if you're on Battlefield of Eternity, you'll still get some of the Angel stuff in addition to your announcer.
Right.
I don't think it completely, I could be wrong, but I feel like I still hear like map unique specific VO assets, even if you have an announcer.
Towers of Doom, I think also there's a little bit of something. I could be wrong on that.
ETC is like, I've got a teleportation ball too. Yeah, it's definitely just some of the VO.
It's a really great, it's a good ETC. You should keep on that one. It's good.
Yeah.
Hire me someone.
It's somebody hire me. Blizzard.
What do you think about the Mira Han thing? That's the one that's throwing me for the biggest loop here. That it's like, she's not a character in the game. She's nothing in the game.
Who is Mira Han?
Mira Han.
Who is that?
Well, is Matt Horner's, are they currently married or did they get married when he was on a bender?
I think it's,
in
I think
Wings
it's
of
a-
Liberty.
It's an unintended marriage that stuck.
Yeah. In Wings of Liberty, there's a point where you get the Vulture mount, the mission. It's on the same map tile set that Warhead Junction takes place on. And they're like, they're going to see mercenaries, and Matt Horner's all like awkward about going there. And then it's like, ooh, hello, honey. And it's a pink haired. And they're together, Matt Horner and Mira Han form an allied commander in SC2. Right.
That's the new one,
she
right?
Was announced at BlizzCon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but Matt Horner's not in the game. Like, it's just Amira Han. So I'm like, they have announcer VO for, like, everyone's like, give us a Deckard Cain announcer. Give us a Deck. And it's like, here's Amira Han.
Well, okay. And,
like a character that featured in 0.27% of the StarCraft 2 campaign. We get it right?
Let's be honest. If Matt Horner was a voice line, you could sell that for 2 shards. Because that's about all you would want to pay for Matt Horner.
Yeah.
His would be like, hey guys, we're about to start a match.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Oh, 5 seconds.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't
even
know, Jim.
Scott's adding more character than he has. Gosh, I don't know, Rainer. It looks pretty, like you're making him Morty from Rick and Morty, which isn't wrong.
I don't know, Rick. This seems like a bad idea. Yeah, I mean, she's fine. She was on the big poster art thing for BlizzCon this year.
She's cool. I like the art and everything. It's not a criticism. It's just.
She's steampunky.
Does that mean
I like her.
There's a Mira Han hero in the works.
Not steampunk. Cyberpunk. She's very cyberpunk. She's very, very Blade Runner-y looking.
Yeah.
I think they probably just had her in the booth for StarCraft, and they were like, hey, you want to talk about the Nexus briefly?
She's like, sure. Hey, Matt, I'm going to go talk about the Nexus.
And he was like, do they want me?
No.
No, they don't.
No, they didn't ask. It's fine. Are you making dinner? Yeah. What? Spaghetti again. All right.
I'm
you're
worried
boring.
That Rainer isn't going to survive my cooking. Okay. Thanks, Matt.
It's still another month or so before we have sex again. It's all right. Everything's fine. I don't know why I do that.
Oh, no. I think they've got a healthy sex life.
Oh, you think so, do you? All right.
Oh, yeah. I think he's reticent. I think she's...
yeah, I was going to say, I think Matt thinks that's probably too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that one goes, if I had to put money on it.
Unintentional marriage, the chat room asked. That's a good question. I don't know why it was unintentional.
It's like he lost a bet. They imply it. I don't think they come out and say exactly what happened, if I recall correctly.
Well, get her in there.
Like, it's a story for another time, okay?
Who hasn't accidentally gotten married a couple of times in their life? It's fine.
Yeah. I wonder if the commander stuff they do with StarCraft is a good place to farm new character ideas. Like, she's kind of new and out of the nowhere. And, if she's seen as popular in the StarCraft space, could you see her end up in the game at some point? I don't know. It's an interesting idea. It seems like the place where you could, given what they're doing with commander stuff, they have an opportunity there to like introduce new people in a way that they can't necessarily with WoW or with, Diablo or whatever. I don't know. It's just interesting that they could maybe produce more there than the ones we all know already. So she may be a player one day, is all I'm saying. She's also a ghost, right? Is that her deal? Or she's something else?
Mira? No, she's part of the mercenaries, because that's where you get your when the Wings of Liberty campaign, that's where you get your vulture tech, which is like not quite military, but like pretty badass and good,
Oh, here it is, yeah.
She's like a mercenary, like a neutral. She's a neutral.
Mira Han, alias Mira Horner, is a Terran mercenary, crime lord, and the leader of Mira's Marauders. That's cool. I still want a Marauder in this game. That'd be good. Anyway, so that's that with her and her deal. What else?
Oh, yeah. Captain Matt Horner was forced to marry Mira Han after winning a poker game.
Really?
Mira Han, I guess. The sentence is kind of unclear, but...
That's a weird thing to get married for. And what would you get? Why, just get divorced. Like, but why? That's dumb. That's a dumb reason.
Poker code. Poker. You know? You can't.
Poker code.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't like. You can't bet.
There's no poker code. If you lose the bet, then
if you lose a bet, you don't pay up. You get your legs broken.
Yeah, but you go to Vegas where you're already gambling. You go to the little Whitechapel. You get married to Mira Han. It's a big laugh because you lost your bet. And then a week later, you annul the damn wedding, the marriage. They can't just have to live with each other now.
Things are different in the Corprula sector, Scott.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not from there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, Matt doesn't have the backbone to back out, and Mira Han is just going to see how long it goes.
Yeah.
Mira Han's made completely out of backbone.
Yeah, that's all she is. All backbone, no flesh. All right, hey, there's that. How about this? A celestial bear mount for buying gems. So that's a thing you can do if you just go buy yourself some gems. They do this once in a while. They'll incentivize you to buy some gems and therefore get a little free thing or a thing for buying gems. So that's cool, I guess. I'm not really into the celestial mounts, the ones that look like star patterns like that. What was that raid in Warcraft you had to do? Something Gaul. It was shit. The whole room was like a big star room, and the guy you talked to is made of stars.
In Old War?
Yep.
Oh, isn't that...
Dragon one?
Yep.
Not Celestalon.
No, it's like that, though.
I know. It's an Ulduar, right?
Yep.
Well, there's an Ulduar one where it was a man. Dari one.
Algalon.
Algalon, that's it. And you'd have the voiceover when you were in Dalaran sometimes where he'd go, "Hi, look at me, I'm a space guy. Rah." Yeah, I remember that.
He looks cool. I don't know. I like him.
The chat room says, "Scott, are your sideburns making scratchy noises in your headset?" I tweeted about this earlier. I spent an hour trying to figure out why I had static in this ear. It's driving me crazy. I'm like, where is the static? Where is the static? And it was just like sideburn hair rubbing my ear cup thing.
Oh, my God.
I was so annoyed. I was so annoyed, you guys.
So maybe the reason I've been coming in hot is my beard's been touching my microphone. Am I coming in hot today, by the way?
No, he's out fine.
We got a complaint. No. We got a complaint last week.
Oh, like, really? Crap.
Only no, when you, that's because you started screaming at the top of your lungs out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's only when you yell.
Don't do that.
It's, it's only when you yell really loud, and even then I like it, so sorry. I'm not complaining. Those guys can bite me.
Sorry that guy.
Let's see. What else? Heroes of the Dorm brackets are here. You could win. Oh, did anybody buy the stupid pig, or did you guys already have the piggy bank pig for 7,000 gold? Was I late to the party?
I had the piggy bank. I bought it back in the day.
Yeah, because back in the day, it was like 10. It was 10K back in the day, right? Or more?
Might 20? Have even been 20K.
Yeah, it was like the goblin, or it was like the treasure goblin mounts. They were really expensive.
Something was 20K.
I think that was 20K. I think you're right.
Warhammer was definitely 20K.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's 40K.
Warhammer for 20K was a little less warlike.
Oh, yeah. My God. Where's my record scratch app?
Oh, my gosh. Dude, I want to play Warhammer games all the time. I love Warhammer 40K. I love it. I don't care for Warhammer, but Warhammer 40K, take me 40,000 years in the future and have me fight space orcs. Oh, something about it. Man, that's why I like StarCraft stuff, I think, because it's ripped off from that. Anyway,
why are we talking about the piggy bank?
The reason I asked is I saw money here about winning $100 or winning $1 million, and I thought, oh, hey, piggy bank made out of gold. So I bought that because I didn't get it when it was 20, and it's only 7 right now. I don't know if it's still up there for that. I have to check, but good time to buy it if you have 7K.
Oh, we got a good look at its butt last week or the week before.
Yeah, it has a sweet little butt. It has a great butt. The Heroes of the Dorm brackets are here, by the way. Could win up to $1 million. They are taking place at Blizzard Arena in Burbank, California. That's right, the Overwatch League place. I'm interested in that because they got some crazy cool projection stuff going on there, and I want to see what that looks like.
I was kind of thinking, like, I don't know if I can wing it, but I'm intrigued.
You gonna try to go?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe. Ooh. I'm moving soon too, so I don't know. I'm watch the space, but
yeah.
I was interested. I was looking at it. You know, it's considerable expense, at least for me to go just for one day.
Right.
But I don't know. You guys, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know either. May's weird because I think Nick graduates in May. So I don't know what I'm doing.
I want to go. There's a slight timing issue, perhaps, but I haven't found out for sure.
All right.
Well, anyway, it's exciting that it's in the studio because I don't think I would have gone, you know, to see an Overwatch event or anything like that. Right. But because it's Heroes, it's very enticing. So I hope it does well, even if
I hope
attendance is good and the production seems like an awesome place to have the production for this.
How do you get tickets? What's the deal there? How do you get
that? There was a link I saw on Twitter. It's $20 a ticket, just online.
It's not bad. The internet, you say? Wow.
The internet. I found it on the internet.
Fantastic. All right, so there's that. That's May 12th, 2018. Bracket challenge. Challenges. Brack again is what this says. That has a $10,000 top prize. A perfect bracket entry winner will receive $1 million for correctly guessing all 63 matches. Wow, that's insane.
It'd be pretty good.
Yeah. That's sooner than I thought. Why did I think it was going to be like July-ish? But May is right around the corner, man.
We met the guy who won last year, the 10,000. Is it Mosley? I think his name is
Mosley.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. He's a nice guy. In. Yeah,
it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
His name was Mosley.
Talked to him a couple times. Yeah. I think he listens to There Will Be Dungeons as well.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thanks, Mosley. Yeah. His name really Mosley.
He does well again.
Are you sure it's Mosley? That doesn't sound like a real name. Mosley. We'll get it right, I'm sure, at some point. Anyway, that's it. Heroes of the Dorm. Get your college on, everybody. Hey, guess what IMDb. IGN, I can't talk. IGN changed their review. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes what game reviewing sites will do, Polygon sort of famous for this, and IGN does it as well, but they'll go back and revisit games that are a little bit more permanent or games that persist past their sort of release and their big hype, and then they kind of fall away. Normally, you just see a review for that, and then you never think about it again. But games that have a longer life, like MMOs or, in this case, MOBAs, that sort of thing, they'll go revisit it, see what's changed, adjust their review, sometimes up, sometimes down. The good news is they went back to their old review for Heroes of the Storm, which they put up in 2015 or 2014, I forget. 15, I think, originally.
It was right when it launched, I believe.
And they had given it a 6.5 out of 10 at the time, which wasn't terrible, but, you know, we all wanted something better than that. They've come back, and they gave it a higher score. What'd they give it now? 8-something?
I think it's 8.0 even.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
In the crowded MOBA space, to get an 8.0 update is pretty solid. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you guys. Oh, my gosh. This reminds me of it. Sorry. We have to bring this up. Dota got a huge change this week. They launched, was it last week? It was this week, last week. Anyway, they got,
I think it was last week.
The Battle Pass thing?
No, the Dota 2 or the Dota Plus membership, the $4 a month thing. Yeah. It's interesting. And somebody had somewhere had sent me a link to some stuff talking about how free to play works, and they're just at the state of the game where they're kind of on the end of it, where it's not about recruiting new players as much as it is about incentivizing those who are already play or have been playing or may come back to play. And their decision to introduce this plus system is pretty interesting for a MOBA. Now, I don't understand how the details of it work. You get benefits for this, and there's no more loot boxes, I guess. You just pay, you earn stuff and pay for the stuff you want as you go. And I got to thinking, I think that would actually be really good for this game. I would right now pay $3.99, which is what they're paying over there. I'd pay $5. Let's say $4.99 for a monthly Heroes Plus subscription that gave me access to every new hero, the backlog of heroes, and whatever other benefits they want to think of. I would totally do that. Like, That does not strike me as a thing I would not do. I would absolutely do that. I would much rather do that than have it be free to play and occasionally me buying gems. I would rather pay them a set amount of money and just have it happen all the time.
It sounds a little bit like you earn shards this way too. It sounds close to stim packs, except they have a few. There's a plus assistant.
Oh yeah, there's this assistant, AI assistant thing. I did hear about this that knows the meta basically. And helps you know what to draft and play and stuff.
Yeah,
I guess they say pro players aren't going to use it because obviously they got their own plans. But it's supposed to be pretty good and pretty good at helping players figure out what they want to do in any given match. So there's stuff like that.
Here's another. I'm learning a lot because I'm just reading the presser for this from the Steam or the Dota 2 website, blog. All Dota Plus members will have free weekly access to play in the weekend tournaments, while non-members can still purchase tickets for 99¢ to participate.
Yeah.
They have buy-in tournaments in Dota 2?
They do. Mm-hmm. Yep. Every weekend. There's some kind of buy-in tournament deal. Yeah. You and all your friends getting in there, which is a pretty cool idea also. Like, there's some pretty neat ideas in there, and I know a lot of it they were already doing, and now some of this is just lumped into a subscription, but I wouldn't mind seeing Blizzard go some direction like that. I think that'd be pretty neat. I mean, they're not at the stage where they need to, where it's about retention and not about new players as much, but anyway, it's interesting. Yes, John.
I think there's something to be said about knowing that you're going to get something. I think that, you know, if somebody says, hey, invest in this and you will get these things.
Yeah.
I think that feels like a pretty good deal to people because they can say, yes, I would like to engage in that. Or no, you know what? It's not particularly worth it to me. You know, whether that's, I don't think I'll earn it if it's, you know, a model where you potentially don't get it. Or if it's a case of, no, you know what? I don't think it's worth that money. I just won't get it. And I think there is an appeal to that over the randomness of loot boxes. I think it's a interesting space. You know, we have talked about it a lot, but I personally find it fascinating the direction all this stuff is moving in, and, you know, how loot boxes were the flash in the pan, you know, a year or two ago, and now we've started to move away from it, and I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'd love to see it go. I mean, wouldn't it be, it'd be fascinating to see it all turn right back around to where it was, where we're paying a whatever relative small fee for a thing we expect and we get, like you were saying. If this all goes back to subscriptions, it'll be a hoot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that was so like, we're done with subscriptions, forget it. Meanwhile, WoW is just always there going, no, subscriptions, stay here, right here, don't go anywhere. and everybody else is like, we're forced to go free to play now. And, you know, on the one hand, that's true. So maybe that's maybe that transition is happening and is folding over on itself in MOBAs and MMOs or other kind of service games like that. But then you see the opposite happening with now the world's most popular video game, freaking Fortnite Battle Royale. That game going free to play aided its climb, its rise to fame, and now is forcing others to do the same. H1Z1 came out of early access and said, free to play. And
I spent $30 on Fortnite and I barely play it.
I know. And I'm telling you right now, it is a matter of time before PUBG will be free to play. I'm convinced. And we all spent 30 bones on it, but that thing's going to come around because they're going to be forced to do it. So that side of the business is like free to play to hell and back. But this other, these other niches, not niches, but these other pockets like MOBAs, MMOs, games as services, I think are flipping the other way. We'll see. Yeah. I can't predict it, but it's fascinating to me. We shall see. All right. Well, there's that. Thanks, IGN. I think you gave it the right review. We're all.
I don't think it was high enough.
Yeah. I definitely don't think it was high enough the first time. Although I did tweet the guy who gave the original back.
He went, wait, say that again. He did what? You cut out for a sec.
I tweeted the guy who wrote the original review.
Yeah.
And he tweeted back to me.
What did he say?
He basically said that he stands by the 6.5 out of 10, but he, at the time is how he said it. And he said that he knew as soon as he saw Blizzard joke about it in a video that they took it in good stride and all of that. And that he thinks the game has come a really long way, is really impressed with it, and is happy they re-reviewed it.
Well, very nice. I put a GIF up as thinking of what I thought he might have done, but I don't think he did that. If you don't know what it is, the chat room has seen it. All right. Let's see. What else? That's it. That's it for that. Let's do this. Email time. Core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. And we got one here from somebody named... Didn't get his
name. That's an odd name for a person.
I didn't get his name. Sorry, dude, who wrote this in. Sometimes this happens where I cut and paste and I lose your name. Hey, Scott, John, and Bo. Spelled all our names right, which I'm super impressed with.
Yeah.
Two T's, J-O-N, and B-E-A-O, not B-O.
You just spelled it wrong in your reading.
B-E-A-U. Sorry, did I say O at the end? I did.
Yeah.
B-E-A-O. Yeah.
Spells Bo.
And there's a great, I have a great clip about that. Hold on. Is it?
I like fish.
No, it's not that. I like fish. No. Now I can't find
it. I'm playing guess the clip. Sorry.
It's a B-O thing. Hold on.
That's not B-O.
It's only good if I have it handy. Freaking forget it.
How long has...
All right, F you thing. Anyway.
Earth females are too fragile.
Here is what says this email. Which heroes do you feel are better translations than their game of origin counterparts? Best example I can give is Artanis. Now, this may be biased because I initially played him in HOTS before playing Legacy of the Void, where, spoilers, he is a playable character, and one of his skills is Astral Wind, which is a healing ability. When I used him in Legacy of the Void for the first time, I thought he is not supposed to heal in all caps. And the character that I would say is the polar opposite of this would be Probius. What the hell was that? Enough said, he says. Anyway, which hero or heroes matched what you thought it should be in Heroes of the Storm? So, translations of heroes. I mean, for me, the most translated hero, like, I think we don't talk about Overwatch characters in this because they're all too one-to-one, don't you think? Like, they're too...
Yeah.
They just come over and they're Overwatch characters. And they do what they do over there, pretty much. So outside of that, oh gosh, this is hard. I think Thrall does stuff I thought he'd do, you know? But you don't get to play him in WoW. He's sort of there with you, but You know, he's casting lightning and doing shaman shit. And that's what he does. So he's a good translation.
Which one? But it's which one matched the most?
Yeah, for me that's a good match.
Not what it should be, but what it should be in Heroes. So I guess there's room to be like,
oh,
if you had Junkrat and then Junkrat was different, but you expected it to be different, then that was a win.
Oh, I see.
So not we're not evaluating what was literally the best literal translation of a character one to one. It was like, what character did you say, oh man, I wish Varian was in the game, and so did it line up with your expectation? I think that's the question.
Okay, I could see that.
So yeah, which
tough.
I'd still kind of go with Tracer. Like, Tracer is a character that once I made a quick cast on her queue, she played exactly how I would want her to play, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that felt exactly how I felt like Tracer should feel. Even in Overwatch, I felt like that's how she should feel.
Yeah.
But to give a more interesting answer than an Overwatch character, I'll flip it and I'll say that Lunara felt so good to play in Heroes that when I played as a Dryad, I don't think it was actually Lunara, but I played a Dryad in the Legion expansion. There was a quest where you got to play as one. Like, it weirded me out. I was like, this isn't playing correctly. This is wrong. This isn't how this is supposed to feel. It's supposed to feel like it does in Heroes.
Yeah, I feel so. Okay, so now that I understand the question, I think that's a good call. And I also think the Witch Doctor, Nazebo, I think is that way for me. I like how he plays in Heroes much better than how he feels in Diablo. And he's fine. He's a certain play style and lots of people like him in Diablo. But for me, he was just a mess. He just barfed everywhere. Just barf, just barf, barf, barf. Frogs and barf. Blah, blah, blah. That's how you play that guy.
Yeah.
But over here, there's precision to him and there's like methods to the madness, and you can still create a lot of trouble for people, and it's still goopy and cool, and he's still going blah, and all that. But it's but there's something about him there that's a better representation for me than where his origin is.
Diablo characters translate pretty well. Mm-hmm. I would actually say Diablo himself,
mm-hmm.
like early Diablo, especially when he was really scary, I felt like for a character that was called the Lord of Terror, they created a kit that genuinely made you not want to get too close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, here's a character we've never played before that I feel like the fantasy of that character is being fulfilled by just what a bully he is.
Yeah. Would have been even more so, I think, if those skins would have been available then, because those skins are scary.
Yeah.
They're really well done. Those new ones, the Leia ones. The ones that have Princess Leia are in each one of those.
Yeah.
Bo, do you have a character?
It's funny. I don't spend a lot of time imagining what characters might be like in Heroes, unless they're like thinking about Overwatch and the literal translations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd say I kind of checked my expectation at the door since Lunara. I was kind of like hoping for A, and I got B, and B was good, but wasn't quite what I wanted. I stopped really contemplating, oh, I really like Imperius. Here's what I want his kit to be, because it's not going to be what I can. Like, it clearly will not be. So I'm going to enjoy myself and be more positive if I don't think too much.
I think that's fine. It's a fine way to look at it.
Dream away. Don't let my cynicism ruin your hopes and dreams.
Yeah, it's in a read a book. It's what? Anyway, I was thinking of something else.
I like Greymane. To keep a simple book. Answer, I think Greymane, I think.
Oh, Greymane awesome. Is so good. Yes.
I mean,
his translation
the switching
is so
mechanic,
good.
The way that it's fluidly into, like, you don't transform then do things, you attack and transform is really well
done. I agree. That's a really good one. And there are others, like, and there's also the reverse. Like, I really wish that the Necromancer Zul felt the way he does in Diablo 3 than he doesn't here. I can't even play him in Heroes because I just look at him and go, you're not like the real one at all. Like, none of the cool stuff they do in that Diablo expansion $15 add-on is represented by Zul. Zul's a puss.
It's got to be hard with big name characters when you think about it, because like I'm going down the ones that I'm like, well, who was I a little disappointed by? And a lot of them are like Tyrael.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. You know, you just you build this expectation in your head from all the Diablo cinematics and stuff. And then, you know, because of practicality reasons, he can't go in and just decimate everybody. He's the shielding and hits like a wet piece of paper guy. And sort of the same deal with Arthas. Like, Arthas should be the ultimate evil, and instead he's a balanced character, which isn't really a criticism, but at the same time, like, it doesn't feel good because you should be the ultimate evil. You know, you should be a crazy thing.
Yeah.
So I think that, I think big named characters are actually probably harder to handle. You know, characters like, even though I'd put him on the bad side, Probius, yeah. Where, you know, what are the expectations?
Right. They're already low, or you just don't have any, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Probius is kind of a victory. I think there are people like playing him that it's good. It's
I just like not Probius. My jam, but I think he's fine. I don't have any ire toward him. I just, there's nothing about him that makes me go, ooh, get me, you know, his kid isn't, I don't know. That thing appeals to somebody. Somebody out there loves that playstyle, and I'm glad it exists for them. It's like me in Hearthstone. I can only play Hunter and Mage to have a good time. I don't like the other classes. I don't find them fun. I don't like their hero abilities. I don't like their cards. They bore me. But Mages and Hunters don't. They're fun.
Well, you should play Rogue, because then you get to hear about Funnel Cake.
Oh, great. I knew I was doing
it. That is Under City Tunneler? What's his name?
I don't remember.
Anyways, yeah, he's the best. It's the best card in the game. Is a rogue card.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's pretty good. I fight a lot of rogues right now. Oh, I don't know if you guys saw that thing, but next week, if you do all the quests every day, you get free packs of cards every day. It's crazy. Anyway.
What?
Yeah.
For the basic set, you get three packs.
You
of cards?
Get three packs of, or something like that per quest. You get a card. So if there's three quests a day, you get three packs a day.
Man, they really want me to play Hearthstone.
You get cancer if you're smoking.
But I don't feel like playing Hearthstone.
I know. That's the thing.
Like, I don't want to play a game. Screw off.
It actually caught me at a good time because I'm kind of into it right now. So I think I'm going to take advantage of it. But normally I'd be like,
it's a good game. It's a good game.
Yeah, it's great.
The problem nowadays, it's time.
Time is everything. Great games. Yeah, everybody wants me to play this pirate thing. And I'm, first of all, the reviews are a little fishy. I don't know how I feel yet about that game. But
that was an unintentional pun that I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean that. Out there. Yeah. It was not on purpose.
They're a little fishy, the reviews.
It was literally not intended, but there you go. But there are people who are saying, oh, Scott, got to get in. And I'm like, yeah, but do I? Like, I've got a lot to play, a lot to do, a lot to think about. I don't know if I want another giant addiction in my life. We'll see. I don't know. But then again, I'm the guy who just installed the old PC version of Burnout Paradise for no good reason, except that
because you can't wait for the new PC version.
I know. I heard about. Well, I was telling John about this. I heard about the new one. It's out for Xbox and PlayStation, and it's up-resed 4K, 60 frames per second, all that stuff, and better textures and this and that and the other. And the multiplayer is coming back because the servers aren't dead. I mean, they killed the servers for the old one, and I have the PC one, which still looks pretty dang good, and I'm running that at 4K. But I really wanted the PC remaster to be out, you jackasses. How can you have to push it off to a different date? It don't even have a date. So thanks a lot, EA. The greatest racing game of all time. And I can't get it on the platform I want it. So I installed the old one and just started ripping around town, crashing into stuff, jumping over things. It's great. The game's great. Anyway, I don't know.
It's interesting. We're kind of wrapping up the show. It's an interesting conversation to have, I'm sure, on another one of your shows.
Yeah,
like the instance.
Yeah,
But the Zeitgeist gaming thing, just the feeling that used to be a time when you talk about what was on TV. Like, did you watch Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the guy watching Deep Space Nine, then you were kind of out of the conversation.
I love that. That's the one.
You know, you're like, well, that's like a 20-year-old show, dude. Like, we don't really want to talk about it. You're like, okay, I'll go be by myself while you guys socialize.
Yeah.
Now it's like, do you play Sea of Thieves? Oh yeah, there's pirates. Oh, did you do this? Oh, did you? And this streamer did this, and you're like, well, I'm playing Burnout Paradise.
Yeah, or I have this damn farming game I can't stop playing.
Enjoy not having a conversation with us since you're not playing what's in the zeitgeist. And it's like, it kind of sucks. I'm playing XCOM 2 right now. The game's a year old, but I'm like, I'm so hyped about XCOM 2 right now.
I have come more and more. I am totally cool with this. I don't care about Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist can bite my ass. You guys all got your thing. That's great. And when I'm into it, I'm into it, and I'll be into it. But I'm not going to pressure anybody else to be into it. Just be into it or don't.
Yeah.
You know, I played. Oh, this is embarrassing. So you guys saw me bragging about it. I played my first game of PUBG Mobile, which is free. I think that's just the tip of the free. That's where it starts. Anyway, it's kind of shockingly good for a mobile port. I'm weirdly surprised. The tension's there. The control is weirdly there. Like, it's pretty good. And I'm rolling around in this game, and I'm thinking, oh, man, there's only 25 dudes left out of the initial 100, and I'm alive. This is great. I just killed three more guys. What is going on here? I'm kicking A. I made it all the way down to the second to the last person alive. Almost took the whole thing. Posting this picture online, showing it to you guys in Slack, putting it everywhere. And then about 12 people go, Scott, they somebody proved yesterday that these are bots for the first few matches.
Like, I was about to, I didn't know that. I was about to make that joke. I'm like, hey, there's only 25 guys left. It's like, so Scott, stop reading the tutorial after 75 people.
Yeah, because I'm not even in the tutorial. I'm in the main game. I skipped the tutorial, and apparently they force you to do bot matches for the first bunch of time. Before you get into real games, I guess, to filter people out. I don't know. It'd be nice if they told me.
Did you see anybody's names? Because there's a kill feed, right?
Yeah, I see names, and they're all names that sound real. Like,
like George.
Jeopardy 28.
98.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, my God, really?
I'm annoyed by it. I'm actually annoyed because I don't like being played like that. Like,
like that you lost the bot.
Well, it's also in the kind of game. Yeah, I did lose to a bot. But the worst part about it is when I would shoot one of these other guys and kill them, they're so far away that you're not paying attention to bot behavior. It just seems like you shot a person and you're oh, I'm good at this. And you just keep going. It's pissed me off. But anyway, the point is, what was my point with that? Yeah, F the Zeitgeist. I'm playing, listen, my
Zeitgeist is amazing.
Farm Together just got llamas today. So F everybody else, double bird. I got all I need. That's it. For,
I love that you love this game.
I really do. It's so good.
I know. You're so into it. But this is the point, is you bring it up and everything bring it up. Like when you were playing it on the stream, I looked at it and I was just like, you couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me to try this game.
It's so good. And it's,
but that's okay. It's okay to have different things and right. All of that. Although I am very happy that Bo got an XCOM 2, even though it was after I got out of it.
But I appreciate Scott. Scott's he's like a guy who's got to taste all the different kind of wine and know what they all are. Like, it's, you know,
I put my finger in everybody's honey pot.
Yeah, like if you just drink one kind of wine, what's the kind of wine? Chardonnay.
Sure.
I don't know. Merlot. If all you drink is Merlot, then how are you gonna know what a kill Scott?
Roosevelt wine.
I am that with games. I get cravings and then I go for where my craving is. Sometimes it's something retro, sometimes it's something new. It's like music for me, same thing.
Chardonnay wine.
Chardonnay, sure. I don't know. Is it a
you
wine?
You just said it in a fun
you
way.
You found that really funny, and I thought maybe
it was the way you said it, because you were like, Chardonnay? Like,
I'm saying a word I heard in TV and film.
The wine I buy says wine on the label and nothing else.
Well, and it's spelled W-H-I-N-E. That's weird.
Bo will buy no wine before it's time. There's an old reference for you. Go look it up. All right. Hey, that's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thanks for being here and hanging out with us. Now, look, you're saying to yourselves, man, what a piece of content that was. I enjoyed the hell out of that. Gosh, I sure wish I could give back. Well, there's a way, turns out. That's by going to patreon.com/core show. That's patreon.com/core show. It helps us make great content even better. And we love doing it. And we love that you guys are supporting us. Everybody out there who's already doing it, thank you guys so much. If you haven't, consider it. And if you can't, that's okay too. Tell your friends about the show though. Say, hey, you like Heroes, do you? Well, have I got a show for you. So big thanks to everybody who has. Again, that's patreon.com/core show. You can also find us at heroes4u.com. That's our website. You can find all our details there, our email address, contact info, and these Twitter accounts, Bo Schwartz, Scott Johnson, and John_Jagger. That's J-O-N, not J-O-H-N. That's a toilet. John is J-O-N. Did you guys ever do that when you were growing up? People said John. You got to use the John. You ever heard that? Is that a thing?
That was the nice thing about the way I spelled my name. you know, I spend my time, so your insult means nothing to
me. Feel like it left right. I feel like it was leaving with my dad's generation, and it's just like gone with mine, and there's no way kids today know what it means. So if you say I need to use the John, they'll be like, what are you doing? What are you saying? They wouldn't know. Anyway, this has nothing to do with nothing except to say thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Frog Pants Network. Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.